Today, I am going to shoot from the hip a little bit on this podcast. I know I'm a week behind, but I skipped a week because my cousin died. And it hit me kind of hard. It was a bit of a shock. So I'm going to dedicate this podcast to her. And I'm going to talk without a script. I ramble a lot. So if you hear some cuts and chops and stuff like what, that's probably because I chopped out something that I said. So it's just so you know, I did not write anything down for this podcast, but I felt like I needed to get on to talk. So today I'm going to talk about my grief as a death care worker and missing my cousin. And the reason I'm talking about that is because I think people assume that because we work with and see death and know what death is like, that we don't necessarily go through all the feels when death occurs. But that's not the case. We're not superhuman. Death doulas, death care workers, we're not superhuman. We are human. And so I went through all the feels. It hit me pretty hard because my cousin Joy, that was her name, that is her name, because now she's an ancestor. She's not gone. I don't believe that people leave this earth never to return. I believe the bodies leave, but the spirit still lives. That's my belief. Doesn't have to be yours. Just saying what I believe. But my cousin Joy was 39 years old. She was a beautiful, beautiful 39-year-old with one of the most embracing and enveloping personalities that you could ever come across. She was never not smiling. She was always optimistic, and she was known for kicking cancer's ass. People say that people lose their fight with cancer, but I don't see any loss in being released from the hold of cancer, because cancer isn't a very pretty disease. From what I've seen, sitting with people and talking to people, it's very painful. Sometimes it can be very slow. Sometimes it can be very quick. But no matter how you choose to fight it, you don't lose that battle. I don't feel like dying after fighting cancer is a losing battle. I have a lot of issues with certain terms that we use in death. And I'll tell you, for my cousin Joy, she definitely did not lose the battle. She inspired so many people to move, so many people to fight cancer. She took up fights for people who may have been disenfranchised because of their skin color while fighting cancer. Because one thing that is known, regardless of whether people choose to admit it or not, not everyone gets the same health care. You can have a lot of money, but the wrong skin tone, and not get adequate health care. So it doesn't have anything to do with money. It has a lot to do with stereotypes and assumptions and race. But back onto the topic of my cousin Joy, I miss her. I miss her a lot. I think about her a lot. I wonder what people were telling her during her last days. I hope she felt empowered. I hope she felt strong. And I hope she felt bubbly, like she used to act. And if she didn't, I hope someone was there to tell her that that was okay. So I met my cousin Joy in about 2005 or 2006. I learned that I had cousins in Atlanta. And on one of my Navy assignments, I was in Beaufort, South Carolina, and I drove down to meet her and her mom. When I met them, it was like we knew each other forever. They were not strangers to me. I was not a stranger to them. I was welcomed with open arms. I like to compare how I was welcomed by the Bentons to the Antoine Fisher scene when he dreams about everybody at the table with his family, eating and drinking and having a good time. That is literally how I felt when I met them. They didn't act like, who is this? Where'd she come from? Why is she here? The only thing I remember, which made me smile, was them trying to figure out exactly who in their family I looked like. And that gave me a sense of kinship, which made me feel really good. My cousin Joy would come over here to visit from time to time, here being San Diego, when she would visit her father who lived up near the LA area. Every single time she stopped over here, her and her husband would stop by to see me. And then when I had Baby D is my 2-year-old. I don't talk about him much, but he's a wild child and I love him and I want him to stay that way. But of course, when I had Baby D, my only living biological child, she stopped by to see him. Every time they were in LA, they would come to San Diego. And if she was in San Diego, she was definitely coming and visiting. But I was supposed to go see her in July when I went home to Cincinnati, Ohio, and I didn't make it. I didn't make it because I didn't have enough time. In the grand scheme of things, thinking about my planning, I could have requested more days off, but I didn't. For some reason in my mind, I felt like 10 days would be enough time for me to see my mom and celebrate her 75th birthday, drive to Michigan and visit my daughter's family, my husband's daughter, my daughter's family, and drive to Atlanta to see my cousin Joy. I was exhausted. I never sat down the whole 10 days. It seems like, well, it feels like, that I was running around, moving and doing stuff the entire time. So I didn't make it to Georgia. I got back to San Diego and I was so ashamed that I didn't make it to Georgia, like I talked to her about, that I was planning a surprise trip in December. I didn't even want to talk to her because I didn't really know what to say, but I feel like she was probably looking forward to seeing Baby D. So when I saw that she died, I saw the announcement was made on Facebook. Our family's pretty broad. So I kind of assume why the announcement was made on Facebook. It was probably the easiest way to get the word out. I'm going to assume that. But when I saw the announcement of her death on Facebook, I froze. Like you see in the movies, I froze. I dropped my phone. And I don't even know how many times I said no. But I just said no. No, no, no. And I kept saying it and I kept saying it and I kept saying it. I picked up my phone. I'm like, this can't be real. Look at it. Post is still there. And so I stare at it and just tears. Tears start to fall uncontrollably. I cannot stop crying. I felt an immense amount of guilt for not making my way to see her. When every single time she was here on this side of the country, she made her way to see me. I'm not going to say hate, but I am really disappointed in myself that I didn't find the time. Yeah. I'm really disappointed in myself that I didn't find the time. I'm really disappointed that she didn't get to see my son one more time. I'm really disappointed that I didn't think to take more time off. I know the past is the past and nothing can change that, but that still weighs heavy on me. So heavy to the point that I think about it a lot. I was actually planning a trip, a surprise trip to see her in December for Christmas. I wanted our visit to be her Christmas present so that she could see the baby again. I had no idea that she wasn't going to be here. I had no idea that her fight with cancer had intensified. I know that none of these thoughts or feelings are like my fault, but it doesn't stop me from feeling them because I'm human and I loved her and I really would have wanted to see her. I also wonder what people were telling her, because if I had known that she was getting close to the end, I would have given her, I don't think I could have given her anything, but I would have just told her like, it's okay. A lot of dying people don't get told that it's okay. They get told to keep fighting. They get told that they're strong, They get told that they can't give up. They get told that they're needed, that they can't leave now, that you got to stay with me. I don't know what I'm going to do without you. What are we going to do when you leave? How can you leave us? We need you to stay. You got to fight. You got to be here for us. Think about us. Think about us. Think about us. How selfish. I know it's a natural thing to want to keep somebody here, but think about dying and having no control over dying, but having everyone here, Earthside, tell you to stop what you have no control over. It doesn't seem very comforting, does it? So I just wonder what was being said to her. And I hope that she was being comforted. Her husband is a great person. And I know she was surrounded by great people. I just hope that they found the strength to give the words of comfort. Because those words are hard too when your loved one is dying. My cousin Joy's mom, who is also my cousin, her name is Pat. She passed only a few months before Joy did. And that hit me pretty hard too, because while I love my family, my immediate family a lot, I had a bit of a rough childhood. So I was always looking for a specific feeling of familial love. And I found that in Pat and Joy and the Bentons down in Georgia. And so when Pat died, it hit me hard because I hadn't talked to her in a really long time and I knew she was sick, but I didn't know what to say. So to have Joy die a few months later, that really, really took me out. So I made a promise to myself to never, if it is possible, to never not have time again. Because I know better than most that time waits for no one. I've seen death in action. I've sat bedside when people took their last breath. I've actually told my grandmother that it was okay to let go. I told them to stop the CPR on my baby. So I've seen it. And I know you can't postpone death. But I was so busy moving around that didn't register with me at the moment. I thought I had time. And I hear that so much. That I should have known better. So many people sit at the bedside of their dead loved ones and say, I thought I had more time. Or, I just wish I had more time. I have to figure out a way to move throughout life that gives me time for what's really important to me. And that's my family. My family in Cincinnati, Ohio. My family in Georgia. My family in South Carolina. That's what's important to me. And time waits for no one. And I never want to feel this feeling that I feel right now, sitting and wishing that I could just see my cousin smile, wishing that I could talk to her. She used to give me some amazing retirement advice, wishing that I could just hear her talk to me about retirement and set myself up for success. And I wish I could see her eyes. Her eyes were so bright. I wish I could see her look at my son, how she used to look at him. She was so in love with him and so proud of him. I don't want to feel this feeling again. I don't want to wish I had more time. Because me, of all people, I know there is no such thing as more time. But here I am feeling it, hoping for it, wishing for it, knowing that it'll never come. Knowing that I'll never see her on this side again. So this episode is dedicated to my cousin Joy. If I rambled, just know that these words come from my heart. And I hope that someone got something out of this. If you have a loved one that you've been postponing going to see, find the time. You don't want to be like me right now, sitting here, wishing I had more time.